Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Yeah, spit that out.
Tongue-tied.
Yeah, you were tongue-tied.
Yep.
So our out-of-town trip wasn't too bad, was it?
No, it wasn't. That was a... other than the first 5 minutes of the flight out of Kansas City. Other than that, everything else was great.
Yeah, it was... So. I feel like I have to say something.
I thought we were about ready to have a viral video moment in the first 5 minutes of that flight.
I'm going to skate over the fact that a native... may have about to been make a scene in the airport. We had literally been on the plane for 37 seconds.
Yeah.
I was like, she hit you with her bag right out of the gate.
Yeah. Threw her bag on me.
Threw her bag on you and then hit the call button three times.
Demanded flight attendant support three times to ask if she could move to the row in front of us.
Yeah, which only had one guy in it.
Which was a emergency exit row.
Well, they charge more for those now because they have the leg room.
Yeah.
Right? And the lady the third time, of course you heard what she said. She's like, no, you cannot move up there.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like we hadn't even, what do they call them? The overhead bins weren't even closed.
No, people were still boarding the plane.
And this bitch is trying to make a scene 30 seconds onto the flight.
Yeah,
I thought that was going to be the preamble to the whole trip.
And she was a big back, too. So that meant no armrest.
Dude, she was fucking huge.
I was leaned against the window the whole time. Like, my God.
She was big.
Yeah.
She was big.
Complimentary to that, though, our last flight on the leg home. Yeah, nobody in the middle.
Yeah, no one in between.
That was working.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to say this. I've talked a lot of shit on the East Coast. Deservedly so.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all fucking assholes. They're all mad about fucking no one even knows.
You say that, but they're like, "Yeah, we are." Like they're proud of it.
Yeah. Every time when we're there, we ask them and they're like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
And even when you ask them why, they're not sure.
Yeah.
You know, but our two clients that we've been out there to see.
Maryland and Delaware.
Totally nice.
Badass.
Totally down-to-earth regular people.
Yeah.
So I feel like I owe an apology to half of the people that live on the East Coast.
Beautiful country, too.
Cool. When I pictured the East Coast, like I pictured like downtown Philly. Like where it's just, it's road over road over road. Like there's no farm ground. It's all been taken over. Dude, where we were at this weekend.
They're out in the country.
Rolling hills.
Two lane roads. Trout streams.
3 acre lots.
The Brandywine River.
Trout stream. It was beautiful.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was great. Man,
so,
the atmosphere of the restaurants and the bars, like, it was...
If we've talked shit about your region in
I'm
the
sorry.
Nation, and you want to invite
awesome.
David and I out to revamp your business in person, we're happy to do it.
Dude, it was great.
Our emails are in the description of the show. It's very cost-effective, too.
I don't mean for this to be a pitch, but yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was great.
Guaranteed payback within, 30 to 60 days of having us out.
Oh, yeah, at least.
As long as you do what we tell you to do.
If Ryan and Jessica, do the one thing we talked about the last dinner,
they'll pay back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In tax evasion alone.
Tax evasion. Tax mitigation.
Whatever, dude. That's you're the politically correct guy. I can say whatever the fuck I want. It doesn't matter.
Tax mitigation.
If you're on the East Coast and you're near, what's it called? I butcher it every time.
Hockessin.
Delaware, and you need plumbing? Dude, Wolf Plumbing, Ryan and Jessica Wolf, fucking awesome people.
Yeah.
Awesome people, dude.
It's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah.
And ironically, I'm wearing a Right Choice plumbing shirt.
Oh, talents.
Yeah.
Wearing the man, I feel so bad. They gave us hoodies. I left my hoodie in the hotel room. I know.
That sucks.
We were on the plane. I don't remember if I said anything to you on the way back. I was like, dude, I left my fucking... Because I hang it up. You know, you
call
hang
the
them
hotel
up.
And they'll mail it to you?
You know, you hang them up and you put it in the closet.
I don't ever use a hotel closet.
I do. I use it every time I go.
I'll forget shit.
Well, it got me that last time.
Yeah.
It fucking got me.
Only time I use a hotel closet if I'm in that bitch for like a week. Or if I got nice clothes I got to hang up.
Well, I always have a few nice things.
I didn't even bring a collared shirt and we went out to that swanky restaurant. I'm like, crap, I'm first in a t-shirt off, and jeans.
We were all looking good. Like, I had at least a nice pullover on. She looked
good.
She
was wearing a dress.
Ryan had a nice collared shirt on, yeah. And then you're wearing an S2
faction t-shirt
like a white trash hillbilly.
Yeah.
Dinner was good, though.
It was.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Ugh. The whole trip was awesome.
It was awesome, dude.
So
From now on, I'm going to change my opinion about travel. That trip may have changed my mind.
It was pretty carefree, easygoing trip.
We had two layovers, and it was really easy.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
No crazy delays, no nothing. And like I say, other than the first 5 minutes on the first flight.
And then after that, it was fine.
Well, once Big Beck got told no, then we were cool. But there for a minute, I thought I was going to have to become the subject matter of a viral video and put her in her place.
First off, I had my phone out. So, I was ready. I was like, I'm just waiting. Wait. You know, we're supposed to go to Destin, Fort mm-hmm. Walton, Florida.
Yep.
At the end of July.
We might end up opening that to the public. We got some more.
We may fucking have to.
Yeah. We got
like, I don't
want
to be
lower. I don't want to say a little lower attendance than what we were expecting. So that means that we have more availability to where we may open it to the public and let some strangers come in and hang out.
Like, we wouldn't.
So.
I don't want to bash our guys.
It's a cheap ass trip to Destin.
They're fucking
I'll say that.
Wearing me out. Yeah. It's like $1,500
yeah
for 4 days, 3 nights on
yeah,
the fucking
plus
beach. Yeah, plus flights.
Plus
we're
flights.
Not paying for the flights, but yeah. Like if we did, it's just to get rid of the rooms.
Yeah,
like we probably wouldn't. I don't know. We might have them in the meeting space too. I don't know.
We'll see. So
I'm what I'm really hoping is that our guys are that's plus 10. If that our guys are just being procrastinators.
Yeah.
And this weekend, they book all the fucking rest of the rooms.
Yep. We'll see.
I mean, I don't want to be an asshole, but fucking goddamn it.
I'll put a Wacky Wednesday post up or something.
A Wacky Wednesday?
Well, you got Monday Motivational. You got Talk Shit Tuesday, so I need something like...
Fucking Ray and his Talk Shit Tuesday.
Whiny Wednesday? I don't know.
Whiny Wednesday?
Yeah.
Wino Wednesday?
Who knows?
White Trash Wednesday. Oh, White Trash Wednesday.
There we go. Whiskey Tango Wednesdays.
That might take off. I might start doing some fun videos.
Yeah.
Instead of business stuff in the private group, it's just fucking weird shit Dave does.
Yeah.
Deworming chickens.
So, what are we talking about today?
I don't know.
Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it has everything you need all in one platform. It has advanced features for your CRM, your estimates and invoices, your scheduling and dispatching. It'll help you put together good, better, best proposals. It'll run your maintenance plans, and it will even run the Tradewinds price book. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with the software you're currently using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you work. And by simplifying those day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. Field Pulse has earned a 4.8 rating across over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com or click on the link in the description of this show. We're going to talk about what it actually takes to make shit happen. That's what we're going to talk about.
I know. I have it written down. I'm just fucking with you.
So there's this common theme that we see over and over and over, and we see this on our own teams. We see this in our own leadership circles. We see this in our own friend groups, but we also see it externally with other businesses, other business owners, everything else, is the allure of success is the biggest hurdle standing in most people's way. This whole mythical creature that is success stands in most people's way. In other words, they claim they want success, but they don't want success any more than they want good tacos and margaritas on a Friday night. Like, they'll plan more for good tacos and margarita on a Friday night than they will for what it takes to dominate their business next week.
Yeah.
And it, what I mean by that is like, call this friend, call that friend, see what this person's doing. What time do we want? Do we need to call ahead? Do we need to do, are we just going to, you know, show up? How many people is it? Like, they'll literally ask themselves more questions and then create more solutions from those newfound questions for tacos and margs on a Friday night than they will for like, how do I get more calls? Let's try this. Let's try that. Will this work? Will that work? Let's try this. Right? Your people will more than happily go out and try a new restaurant that they don't know if they're going to like, and then make a decision, do I like it or do I not, and then return from that, then they will try out a new marketing tactic or try out a new lead generation idea or try out a new way to present a sale or an option to a customer. It's like whenever it comes to work and business, it's like we just have this doom and gloom, that won't work, that won't work, that won't work. But whenever it comes to life, it's like, hell, I've spent more money on dumber shit. Yeah, let's go get tacos and margs on a Friday night.
Oh, I mean, like, I don't want to pepper it down to something super small, but it's because people are afraid. That's
what are
why.
What are you afraid of? Having a bad taco? Having a bad margarita?
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in their business.
I know. I'm trying to compare it to, like,
I know you are.
You could have a bad taco. You could have a bad margarita.
Yeah, but that is not going to ruin your life. You might get the shits, but that's not going to ruin your life.
I'm so glad you said
that. And people literally are like, but if I do it in my business and it fails,
if I spend $100 trying out a marketing thing, it's going to ruin my business.
Well, they want to compare it to, if this thing that I do in my business fails. They automatically put those two things together. And it's just not the truth. It's just people are afraid to ruin their business. Or they're lazy and don't want to work.
Yeah.
Like, I say that a lot, but it's very, very true. Well, I'm, you know, this problem could come up. Well, this problem could come up. This problem could come up. Okay, well, first off, none of those problems are going to derail your business. That means you're just going to have to deal with more problems and work a little harder. Yeah. So are you lazy, or are you really afraid that it's going to tank your business? And the easier one to get over is the, I'm afraid it's going to tank my business.
Yeah.
Because you can literally, you can sit down and decipher all of that information and be like, okay, you're right. If I do this and it fails, I wasted some money, but no, my business is still healthy.
Yeah.
But if you sit down and look yourself in the mirror and go, oh, it's because I'm fucking lazy, like, that's what I think people are actually afraid of, is that they don't want to admit to the fact that they're not willing to put the work in to get it fucking done.
I look at it like this. Life and business, like personal and professional life, is like a circle. Picture a sphere or a circle. Okay?
Home.
The smaller the circle, like your circle.
I'm listening.
Your circle is your wealth. It's the amount of wealth you have. Okay?
Okay, your circle, we're going on a journey here. I'm listening.
Your circle is like at the core of that circle, at the center, the nucleus of that circle or sphere.
Okay, it's an atom at this point. Got it.
Is the most comfortable you will ever be. In the edge of that circle and outside that circle is the least comfortable you will ever be. Now, keep in mind, that circle is your wealth. So how do you grow your wealth? You get outside your comfort zone. You push the boundaries of what makes you comfortable. Right? You don't go jump off the edge of the flat world.
Flat earth comment.
But you go check it. You go look at the edge. Yeah. You go look over the edge and see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Right? So, but in personal life, they'll make decisions that pull them away from that comfort zone and towards comfort. And they don't care what the decision costs. They'll do it. Buy a new car, buy a new house, buy the jewelry, buy the vacation. They'll do all of that things because it makes them more comfortable, right? But in business, they won't spend the money, because spending money in business is pushing the boundaries of the comfort zone. So they won't spend the money in business or spend the time or spend the thought or spend the effort to push the boundaries of their comfort zone, knowing that the bigger that circle is, the more wealth they have, the bigger their business is, right? It's the classic thing of, I need to hire a guy.
but my name's on the line. I can't trust anybody. Okay, well, both of those can't be true.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to pick one.
Right. Or I'm looking for that perfect employee.
That's the dude.
That guy that knows how to sell and knows how to install. That guy that's perfect with the customers. That guy that makes me a ton of money.
Dude.
That guy that I don't need to manage. That guy that shows up on time, works early, leaves late.
You mean the unicorn?
You mean the self-employed guy that you're competing against? Because if a guy has all those attributes, he ain't working for anybody.
Yeah, the unicorn, dude. That's one thing we battle in TradeWinds a lot. Especially, and it's not necessarily guys that have five, six, seven guys.
It's guys looking for their first
or second guy.
Yeah.
I need that unicorn. My name, like you were saying, my name's on the line. He's got to be able to do it all. Dog, if he could do it all, he wouldn't be working for your one-man show.
Right.
And I'm not stabbing the guys that are down there.
No, no, no.
You have to be realistic. You have to be able to accept the fact that guy's going to have flaws just like you have flaws.
Yeah.
You aren't perfect in running your business, are you? Well, no. So how can you expect your first hire to be perfect too? Crickets.
Like, right.
You just, it's an impossibility. It cannot happen.
When it comes to hiring too, there's this misnomer that I have to hire the perfect person the first time, because if I hire somebody and then fire them 3 months later, then I have a turnover problem in my business. 100% of the people I've hired are not here anymore. Get the fuck over it. This whole idea of turnover does not happen in small business. Turnover does not happen in small business on the short term. Turnover is a long-term metric. Turnover is a repeating pattern, okay? Hire fast, fire fast. You get a guy that says he can rough in houses, hire him. And then fire him the moment you realize he can't rough in houses. You get a guy that says I can sell the world to anybody, hire him. And then you won't even need to fire that guy. He just won't make very much money because he's not very good at sales, right? So in other words, hire people off of what they say in the interview. Fire them off of their ability to follow up what they promised in the interview.
Yeah.
So
it's wild. Like, people will think, when guys start out in their business, they're like, this is my plan. I'm going to stick to the plan. I'm going to hire these guys. These guys are going to be with me forever. It never, ever happens that way.
Ever.
Ever. Ever. Look, I'm going to give you an example. This is a real life example. When I was at Air Design, and when it was in Oak Grove, mm-hmm. you were still at the plumbing company mm-hmm. down there, okay? Mm-hmm. I worked for a guy named Jim, okay? It was me, Jim, his right-hand man, and Jim's brother, mm-hmm. okay? They partnered with the guy that we both worked for, mm-hmm. okay? They got back together, and they were partners, okay? Within 5 years, 3.5 years of that happening, Jim was gone. His brother was gone. His right-hand man was gone. The two guys that they had partnered up with were gone.
Right.
And another business partner had come in.
Yep.
And the only people that were there from the original merger were the partner that was with Jim and me.
Yeah.
That was it. In a 3.5 year fucking span.
Right.
They took two businesses, merged them into one. So that would have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys in 3.5 years. Two businesses went into one, and only two guys were left in 3.5 years.
And now, 20 years later, one of those guys is still there as the owner.
Yeah, that's it.
So shit changes.
This whole perspective that guys want to have when they're young in business is, this is where it's going to go. This is how I'm going to run it. This is what's going to happen. These are how my employees are going to be. And let's be honest, none of that fucking shit is going to come to fruition.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be, if you want to be successful, you have to be extremely flexible.
Yep.
You have to be willing to take some extreme risks sometimes as far as hiring goes. 80% of those aren't going to pan out in the long term. And what I mean by long term is 5 to 10 year span.
Right.
And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
There is nothing you can do about it. The more flexible you are, the more adept at change you are, the better off you're going to be.
So, like, we all know what a thirst trap.
Rambled through that.
No, you're good. we all know that like a thirst trap photo is somebody who posts a provocative photo online for attention, accentuating their highlights, right?
Yeah.
Well, social media is full of thirst trap business posts, right? You don't see all the ugly shit behind the scenes. You see the vanity fleet photo.
Yeah.
You don't see the argument that caused somebody to get fired 2 minutes before that photo happened. You ever taken family photos? Classic thing with family photos is everyone's bickering and fighting and arguing about.
And then it's a smile.
And I then know. It's a smile.
I know.
Right?
I was going to go into something, but I think I just keep that to myself.
That's fucking business.
Yeah.
Right? That's totally business. It's people arguing and fighting, and you got ketchup on your shirt, and I don't want to wear this, and it itches, and you're fucking wearing it because I bought it at Gordman's last night, and you know all the all the things, and then
fucking
smile
Ross.
For the photo, right?
Yeah, and then afterwards, all the clothes are in the trash, the dog's shit on the carpet, like everyone's in a bad fucking mood.
Yeah,
dad goes to the bar.
It's vanity.
It is vanity,
right? And so you got to like get your freaking mind off the idea that the success you see on social media, everyone's perception is reality, right? And so
you're true.
What you see on social media may be true for them, but you're perceiving it to be much more magnificent than it actually is. And so that now this magnificent version of what you're seeing is true for you.
Yeah,
right,
people. Yeah,
and
people,
they're two total different perceptions of the exact same situation.
It's wild to me how I've talked about having like a psychotherapist on the show, and you keep telling me no. I think it would be like really great, like a 4-hour show dive into Mitch. But like people for some reason, people will automatically put people that they don't know on a pedestal.
Yeah,
because they see them on social media. Why?
Well, no, it's easy to assume they have a perfect life. It's easy to assume their life is in order. It's easy to assume that they have it all together.
I get that. Why? Why do people do it? That's what I don't understand.
Because you don't smell their bad breath. Because you don't see them when they're cranky. Because you don't see them lose their cool at somebody and behave in a manner that they wouldn't want portrayed on social media.
No, I understand that. But why? Why do people do that? It doesn't...
It's the same topic of this show.
Is it because that's what they want?
And no.
They want to live in some kind of fairy tale land of this is perfection?
Probably.
Or like that's what they're striving for, so they just put people on a pedestal like we do with celebrities who are, by the way, completely fucking worthless in society.
Yeah, they're just normal people.
They're just entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why people put so much... I'm not this way. I don't do it. I hate social media. I hate people that puff their chests out. I hate people that think they're better than anyone else.
Yeah.
Right? So I automatically have a misnomer with everything I see.
Right.
Right? So it's hard for me to understand.
Yeah.
Why.
Yeah.
And it makes me insane.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Basically, success is a lot more simple than anybody makes it out to be. It's hard work. It's failing more than you've tried, or failing more than you've succeeded. It's trying 10 times more than you ever thought you would need to. But, I mean, go look at, who's the world's fastest man?
Usain Bolt?
Usain Bolt.
I think he still holds it.
Yeah, I think so. He trained for 10 years to run for 9 seconds.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we got people out here that don't want to try something once because, oh, what if it doesn't work? Nobody's going to fucking know if it didn't work.
Man, your voice got high.
Like,
no one is.
Try this social media ad. Oh, it didn't work. Okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. People, I think, are just afraid
of failure. Cast you to the gallows. Like, your business is done. Like, try shit.
Yeah.
Like, look, I'm just going to, like...
You're going to fail 70% of the time.
Let's give you some real highlights and lowlights. Let's give you some real highlights and lowlights of my fucking business. Okay? Let's clarify some of these misnomers that you may have about my business. The one common thing that everybody that comes in and does like a shop tour or anything else says, "Wow, it's not as big as I thought."
That's what she said.
It's because
don't set them up, man. I won't knock them down.
It's a grower, not a shower.
Yeah. Okay.
But everyone says, "Wow, it's not as big as I thought," right? And it's because they've perceived what I've put on social media, and they've embellished it, and they've used their own level of fantasy and desire or whatever to put me into some position that I'm absolutely not in. I never once claimed that I'm in this position. So we were at Man Week in the Lake, and somebody had said, "Oh, I heard you sold your business." I said, "Yeah." And they go, "How many trucks was it?" And I said, "Oh, I mean, it was a decent-sized business. We were 5 trucks." And they were like, "Oh, my God, I thought you had like 100 trucks.
100 trucks?
Never once have I ever portrayed anything like that. No. Right?
People just dream shit
up. But they just put these thoughts in their own head because it's self-deprecating is what it is. It's, "Oh, my gosh, this guy's so much farther ahead of me." No, he's probably not. Right? I've seen businesses come into Tradewinds and think, "Wow, I'm mentoring this guy. This guy seems to have it all together." And then once you learn more, you're like, "Nope, they're hanging on by the skin of their teeth just like everybody else."
Yeah, we're all holding
on. That's called life.
We're all holding on to the edge, dude. Just right. Like 2 fingers.
Treat business like raising a teenager. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring. You handle the problems as they come in today. And then you look back on the history and say, "Well, they're still alive. All right. And I didn't kill them. I didn't murder him. I didn't ostracize him. I'm a pretty good parent."
I don't want to get into the parenting thing because I could destroy that argument in 5 seconds. But like, you know, I just because they're alive doesn't mean you're a successful parent. But you're right. People, they literally will play down their own lives
and play up the lives of strangers,
and put strangers on a pedestal because they have low self-esteem. They've been told they're not going to be anything their whole lives. You know, whatever.
Dude, the shop that we were in this weekend in Delaware, nicer in my shop, more organized in my shop, cooler shit than my shop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you don't hear that stuff, right? So
no,
right. Let me take a few minutes and just go through some of the high points and some of the low points of my business. Some of the areas where people were like, "That's fucking stupid," and then it pays off. And some of the other areas where people may not know where I fucking lost my ass or made it like,
"Oh shit, here we go." Okay.
So
are we okay?
First hire number one.
Okay.
Okay. Didn't even count as an official hire because he called in sick on day one. He worked with me on day 2 and day 3, and he called in sick on day 4. I never let him see day 5. My first fucking hire didn't even make it 2 days.
You are a poor judge of character.
Yeah.
I'm your best friend.
If you think you have to war, and keep in mind, I started a business in 2020. I sold it in 2025. Okay? So if you think your first hire has to be fucking perfect, take that to the bank. My first fucking hire didn't even make it a week.
Can I ask you some questions?
Sure.
Who was your second hire?
Spencer.
Who was your third?
A guy named Anthony.
Who was your fourth?
A guy named Tim. Let's see. I don't know who came first. Austin, the videographer, Marcus, the videographer guy, or Tim Stanley?
Okay. And who was the two after that?
So then it would have been Marcus, who was immediately replaced by Austin.
And then who?
And then
that?
We've had some other plumbers since then.
The reason I'm asking is because when you sold, how many guys were still there?
One. Of my first 5 hires, only one was still there 5 years later when I sold.
And you probably had how many hires do you think you had before you sold? 9.
I think we're on employee
8 or 9.
Like. So here's another
actual hires that we'll count the first one.
Here's another thing. Okay. I started a company in 2020. I sold it in 2025. We're currently on employee number like 30.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so your anybody who thinks my business is this massive thing, it's not.
My point is, your retention for employees over a 5-year period is less than 10%.
Yeah.
Less than 10%.
And that changes by the job. So like if you're hiring if you're hiring a CSR and they make it a year, call yourself lucky, right? And that's nothing against CSRs. It's you look at like go get a job at McDonald's. Are you gonna be a lifer at McDonald's? Or are you possibly going to get a job at McDonald's because it's a great first job opportunity?
If you're over 60, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
If you're just looking for something to do.
It's possible that you got a job at McDonald's because you were young in the labor pool and it was experience and it was opportunity and it was money. And then as you grew and developed out of that position.
Yeah.
You were no longer, you were overqualified for that position and you wanted more in life.
Yeah.
Right?
And my point is to your point of if... When you're in business and you're hiring, the people that stick around, that are there long term, it's up to them.
Yep.
It's 100% up to them. You lay out standards. You lay out expectations. You are average in the pay pool. If they want to stay there, they will stay there. If they don't want to uphold the standard, if they don't want to uphold the expectations,
yeah,
and they either get fired because they didn't do what they said they were going to do or quit and move on.
Yeah.
It's no reflection on you.
Yeah.
It's no reflection on your business. That's just how it is. That is just the way of the world.
Yeah.
Like how many times do you go, like I don't know if you're this way or not. Janine and I will find restaurants that we love and they're usually hole in the wall, mom and pop places. We go there constantly.
Yeah.
Once, twice a week, whatever. How often are the same servers there?
Very rarely.
Very rarely.
You go
maybe one, maybe two.
Yeah.
Like over a 5-6 year span.
You don't see that business closing up because they just have a turnover problem with servers.
Guess what? The food is still fantastic.
Yeah.
The drinks are great. The atmosphere is great. The owners are great.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with the pawns that are in place to get that business to turn dollars.
Yeah.
If those pawns want to move on to somewhere else, that's up to them.
Yeah.
As long as you're a good boss, giving them what they need monetarily, you're competitive in the market, and you're giving them room to succeed, it's not on you if they leave.
It's your job to protect the queen
and then
at the expense of the pawn.
And what's going to happen? They're going to move on. The problem is I think a lot of guys are like, well, you know, I'm going to start my business and I'm going to bring these guys in and I'm going to be the foundation that builds their family and we're going to all be together in this and we're going to grow and we're all going to make money and it's going to be fantastic. And that just fucking ain't how it is anymore.
I'll say this. Anybody at a high level of anything has a lot of fucking dirt on them, right? George Brett.
What do you mean by dirt?
Like George Brett, one of the best MLB players of history. Now, I don't want to say of all time, but like in the past.
First off, time, he's probably in the top 15.
Yeah. But you talk to anybody who knew him personally, who worked around him and everything else.
Oh, yeah, he's an asshole.
He's a fucking asshole,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
that's what people say
in other
about
words,
me. I love it.
In other words, he knew what he wanted and he knew what he was willing to tolerate and he wouldn't tolerate anything other than what he expected out of people,
yeah.
Right? So-
Yeah.
Like you look at anybody big and flashy on social media that's scaling their business, sold their business, whatever, right? I'm going to just name drop Victor Rancourt for a minute. You take Victor Rancourt. You can look at the highlights and the success story and, oh, I built this business and sold it and everything else, and you can envision whatever you want. But I guarantee you that motherfucker was firing somebody every couple of weeks. I guarantee you that person was bringing in people, next man up. Here's your opportunity. You can't hack it. You're gone. Okay? Now, to those couple people, he's an asshole. But that's just not something that you post typically on social media, for one. You kind of can't legally. But for two,
some of
that reality, the reality of business just doesn't get shown on social media. You see the flashy car. You see the flashy watch. You see the vacation. You see the time off. But you don't see the fucking hard conversations where you got to fire somebody. You don't see the hard conversation where you fire somebody and it's the first time ever in your life that you had to take a pressure washer to the inside of a vehicle because they trashed the vehicle so bad.
Yeah. Everyone wants to be
That's a real thing that happened to me, by the way.
I know. Everyone wants to be the nice guy.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to have everyone like them. If
you're liked by everyone, you are doing nothing.
Let's be honest. I would love to be that guy. I would love to be the center of attention. Everyone likes that guy. He's done nothing wrong in his life. Dude, like, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. To get to the top, sometimes you got to step on some heads.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just, sometimes.
And that's not a mean statement.
And I don't mean.
There's head, like, your team needs you to step on the fucking heads.
I don't mean, like, rob and steal and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, sometimes you got to be stern.
No, you got to squash a motherfucker.
And hold the standard.
Yeah.
And pull them down on the carpet.
Yes.
Like, I've been pulled on the carpet more times than I would like to admit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when I was coming up and I was running guys, like, they would call me into the office and be like, dude, you said fucking what to him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't tell him he's a pedophile piece of shit. Well, why?
I didn't say that. I said, are you a pedophile piece of shit?
No, I mean,
I asked a question.
Dude, I was crushing fools.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, but I thought that that's what it took.
No.
To get the most of, you know what I mean? So yeah. We've all been pulled to the carpet. We've all been the bad guy.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's what it takes to get to the next level.
Dude.
It's awful.
Look at it.
I shouldn't say
this way.
It's awful. It's just reality. How about that? It's just fucking reality sometimes.
Let me go through a couple of more of the, like, I don't want to say clear the air type stuff, but, like, let me just be real about some of the real shit that's happened in my business. My first three vans I bought twice. It's a $250,000 fuck up. So my first three vans I bought were medium length, medium roof transits. They were too small. Needed more room in the transits. Wanted to be able to carry a water heater, all yeah. this stuff, right? So I bought all those pre-COVID pricing. And then COVID pricing hit in like 21 when we realized, oh shit, all my vans are too fucking small. Late 21.
Just lay them down.
So I bought, I opened in 2020, bought a van in like July of 2020. I bought two more vans in February and March of 21. Okay? I hired, there was a time in my company where I have no shop. I'm running this out of my own fucking garage, and I live in an HOA neighborhood, okay? I don't live out on acreage where I have land to park vehicles.
Yeah, that's also a mistake, but go ahead.
I have...
Never live in a neighborhood
with
an HOA.
My wife has a car. At this time, I've got a little Ford Ranger.
The Danger Ranger.
And I've got three vans that I've paid for.
Yeah.
And I'm running out of space to park them.
Fucking Rangers.
Okay? My driveway in my neighborhood.
Ford Ranger.
It looked like a used car dealership, okay? So I had the opportunity to buy the vans. I knew the team was coming. I just didn't know who it was gonna be yet. And so now I'm sitting on three vans and I'm the only plumber I got.
I told and you I to sat, park those vans at my house. You asked me. I said, I know. Bring them over, bro.
And so I sat on those vans for a while, right? And then I went through one bad hire, but then yeah. I finally got my two guys, right? So now the vans are off. And then it wasn't 6 to 9 months later, I realized these vans are too small. And the guys are literally taking product off the van so they can put tools on the van. Well, that's not smart. That's not cool. I need you to be showing up to houses with product.
Dude, I'd have took the front seat out of the fucking passenger side of that bitch and I had my tools up there.
Maybe. So
I'm also psychotic.
So I'm like, oh, crap, I got to buy all new vans. Well, now COVID pricing's in full effect. The microchip shortage is in full effect. So I was buying vans, slightly used, for $35,000. And now that same fucking van, only in a long body high roof, is now $71,000. I didn't have a choice. So I had to trade in my $35,000 vans for $71,000 vans.
Yeah.
Plus sales tax, plus capital
fucking
gains
donkey.
Tax, because you buy a van for $35,000 and then the price goes up on the van. When you sell it for more than you buy it for, you have to pay capital gains tax on the difference.
Well, couldn't you 1031 that money into the new vans? And
no.
That, no?
No. Doesn't work like that on vehicles.
Well, it fucking should.
So, $250,000 mistake.
I tell you, TradeWinds bought a new
it's,
car?
It's $210,000 raw up front, plus sales tax, plus licensing, plus registration, plus capital gains tax.
Yeah.
$250,000 mistake, and I am in business 18 months at this point. Okay? But now we've learned from the mistake. We're rolling on. Okay? Hire a video guy. If you guys listen to episodes 1 through 9, you'll get to hear them on the show.
First off, video quality was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hired a video guy because
it's not any better than it is right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing it.
Hired a video guy. And the idea was, you're going to shoot video for the plumbing company. And oh, by the way, to fill your time, you're going to film this podcast and produce this podcast. Okay? The podcast will be the easiest thing you do.
8 hours a week.
6 months later.
8 hours.
We have zero videos on YouTube. And we are keeping our head above water, struggling to tread water to keep this podcast rolling. And there were a series of mistakes after a series of mistakes. And finally, the nail in the coffin was, so for one, he would show up to my house to record the video stuff, and he would forget the SD cards or the batteries for the cameras or whatever the case may be. And so now we're all waiting while he drives home to go get the basic tools for the job, right?
Poor Marcus.
And so then it was literally the day I bought the Ford E-Transit. I could go find that day, whatever day it was. It was in April.
I don't remember.
It was in April. But we shot some content during the day about me buying a Ford E-Transit, and then we came over to my house that night to record a podcast, and by the time he got home that night, he said, guys, I forgot to hit record. And he didn't actually say that. He wouldn't admit his mistakes. What he said was, I don't know what happened, but the footage is unusable. It's a fucking camera, dude.
On.
That's like...
God, the camera's on, isn't it?
Better be.
Hey, first off, a year and a half, and I have not...
You've never forgotten a battery or forgot to hit record?
Nope.
Right? So,
nope.
That was Marcus's last day here, right? And I'm not knocking the guy. He didn't perform to my standards. But the reason I'm telling you all this is, here I had this vision that creating video content would help my company grow. And I spent 6 months with a guy, 5 months with a guy that was the wrong fucking guy. Okay?
Yeah.
So then I learn. I don't give up. I don't say, oh no, well, I guess my life's just over now because I made a bad hire. No, I stick with it. The vision's still there. And I hire Austin. And Austin was with us for over 2 years.
Austin he's a good kid.
And Austin took us from zero YouTube subscribers to, by September of that year, we crossed 1,000 YouTube subscribers. So from April to September, it took that long to get 1,000 subs.
On the Smedley channel.
On the Smedley Plumbing channel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got 1,000 subscribers then, and now we're at 28,000 subscribers. I haven't put a full-length video on YouTube in a year and a half. And we're still climbing in subscribers because of the content that Austin and I created over the years.
Yeah.
Okay? I was looking it up the other day. I'm going to look it up again because this is an impressive stat. Everyone likes to, again, paint these pictures that things are what they aren't. So let me go to YouTube. Everyone likes to say, oh, if you got that many subs on YouTube, you're just a millionaire. Let's go to revenue. YouTube, Smedley Plumbing. Let's go all time. Give me a second.
I know what the number is.
Lifetime revenue on YouTube.
$46,801
is what YouTube has paid me over the life of our Smedley Plumbing YouTube channel.
Austin made 60 grand a year?
All of my videographers made between $60,000 and $75,000 a year. So if you think that YouTube has paid for itself directly, you would be incorrect.
Incorrect, sir.
Okay? So I'm not a millionaire because of YouTube. However, I am because of what YouTube allowed for our business to do. Google owns YouTube. So I knew this, and I also knew that social media video content was more powerful than worded posts and static photos. So that's why I hired the video guy. The whole YouTube revenue thing was to try to recoup some of the money. And so hired a video guy, create all these videos that we can put on social media, create this YouTube presence, which Google owns YouTube. So now my website guy loves it because our website ranks better because we have all this YouTube authority. And we started getting leads from YouTube. People were calling in saying, I found you guys on YouTube, and then I realized you're local to Kansas City.
Fix my water
heater,
bitch.
Fix my stuff, right? So I just got an email the other day. I haven't replied to it yet. I just got an email the other day from one of our videos where somebody's asking questions about it. And so what I'm getting at is YouTube directly was still a failure. But we found a way to make it work. We found a way to make it grow our business. We found a way to leverage that authority for big stuff. Because of the YouTube channel, you and I had an offer from Ford to sponsor this podcast and to sponsor Tradewinds. You and I had an offer from a CRM company that was growing and developing, and they wanted me on their like product development board to
before
build
they
a
went
CRM.
Under, but
and then
yeah.
Yeah, and then they didn't like our political views, and so they said, we can't work with you, and you politely called them out and said, bro, over half of your ideal client is of this political view. You might check yourself before you wreck yourself, and they wreck themselves 3 months later.
I didn't actually say wreck yourself, but that's good.
Yeah, I think it was wreck yourself.
Ultimately,
what I'm getting at is businesses are full of really expensive fucking failures. But why do they succeed? Because they used that failure as a stepping stone to the next level. It wasn't this giant peak on a graph and then back to misery and back to failure and back to the bread line. I guess I'm in the unemployment line.
No, it's they just kept their fucking nose down and they're like, nope, we're just going to keep rolling.
Right.
We're going to keep working.
I learned
we're gonna keep
a way
working.
It didn't work.
Working, working,
right?
Working,
WD-40.
Working.
There's a reason it's not called WD-39. It's because that formula didn't work.
Just is what it is.
WD.
We talk about this all the time. Like, no one ever wakes up and they're 44 and they're like, oh,
I'm successful now.
I'm successful and in the position I've been in the whole time. No. It's like this gradual, long-standing line of I'm just working a little at a time.
Yeah.
A little at a time. A little at a time. There's going to be failures along the way. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
What separates the men from the boys is those that when there's a failure, they say, oh, woe is me. I got to go back to working at McDonald's.
Right.
Do you? No, you don't fucking have to. Just keep fucking going, dude.
You get one-star review and you act like it's going to take your business down.
Failures. It's how you react to the failures, the missteps, the blown money.
Yeah.
Like that is what creates
success. And you will fail, and you will step wrong, and you will absolutely blow money. 50% of your marketing dollars are wasted. The problem is knowing which half.
The problem is you don't know which half.
Right.
But that's the problem.
But your diligence to constantly figure out which half will determine your success or your failure in marketing. We just made a massive marketing decision in the plumbing company yesterday.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to say us. I was going to fucking stab you.
No.
Yeah.
In the plumbing company.
You guys are shitting bricks over there.
We invested for 6 months into a marketing avenue that didn't fucking work, and I called it out yesterday, and we canceled it.
Can I get some credit?
What, for the I told you so?
I said, that's a bad idea.
Well, yeah.
You told me, I said, that's a bad fucking idea.
But I'm glad you brought that up. Right there, that persona, that personality, that interaction is what stifles people from growing. And I'm not knocking you. But what I'm saying is, when your friends, your friends will not have faith in you. Your friends will think it won't work out. Your friends will second guess what you say. Your friends will say, that's a bad idea. Be willing to let them have the victory when it doesn't fucking work, because at least you had the balls to try it. And I'm not saying you had the balls compared to your friend.
No, I'm saying you also knew that it wasn't going to
exactly.
work.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
You knew it wasn't going to work.
I knew it wasn't going to work.
And you let it roll.
Well,
sometimes
I don't own enough of the company to stand in the way. I'm a minority owner of the company, so I don't get that say anymore.
Oh, that's a pessimist
view
too.
No, really. Need to let them learn on their own which ways to market and which ways to not to.
Yeah, but sometimes you got, like, let's be honest. What separates winners from losers is even when they don't have a fucking thing to stand on, they stand up and go, no, this is, at the beginning, this isn't going to fucking work. You guys are going to outvote me.
You can do that on principle. You can do that on other things, but
burn it down.
Same logic as this show here. They didn't cripple the company. They didn't fold the company with bad marketing
decisions.
They haven't
folded it. They've crippled the fuck out of it.
But you're crippled every day, is what I'm saying. In other words, the ownership group of the company is now significantly more powerful than they were just 3 to 6 months ago. Because now they know firsthand what I warned them about going into this. Now they see exactly firsthand what happens when you go into that. And so now what it did was, now they know the wrong ways to do it, which I had to learn the wrong ways to do it. But now they also know that when I speak, it's coming from a place of experience and coming from a place of desired success, not brag, not pride, not I want to be right and I want you to be wrong. It's nothing of that. It's
how do we buy back 40% of that thing? I'm just fucking saying.
Yeah.
I got some fucking money.
But what I'm saying is the idea that you went down a marketing venture for 6 months and it was wrong, it didn't kill the company and it won't kill the company. It absolutely will not.
No, it just crippled its growth by 2 years.
No, it didn't.
One year.
No, not even that. This is literally growing a company. Half your shit you try won't work. Well, guess what? The first half of this year in marketing didn't work.
The second half will. Half of not working is zero. Negative is not working. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but marketing numbers are always skewy.
I'm not talking marketing numbers. I'm talking fucking revenue numbers.
Yeah, we're not down. We're actually up on revenue from year over year. We're just up on costs, too. But yeah, we're up on revenue year over year.
Okay, maybe I should have said profit.
No, again, that's where it's up on costs, right?
Yeah, up on costs, same revenue, but that's all on profit.
But the idea that you're going to grow in profit every year, year over year over year, is a fucking fallacy. And nobody should ever think that happens. There's reasons that big-ass businesses show a profit, and then show 5 consecutive years of a loss, and then show a profit, and then they show a loss. It's because they're surging and they're purging and they're growing and then they're retracting.
A lot of that is tax, too.
A lot of it is tax.
It's tax mitigation. How am I handling tax mitigation? Not the actual number of
correct.
What is profit?
But everybody wants to remember the profitable year and thinks that happens all the time.
Spend profit on.
Right? Everyone wants to remember the profitable year and thinks that that happens every year. They do this with billionaires all the time. Right?
Oh, I know.
And
let's say, apples and oranges.
Right. But what I'm saying is there have been times where... Now, I'll say this. Before I sold the company, we've had 6 month stretches where we lost way more money than what we did in the first quarter of this year. We've had quarters where we lost more than what we did in the first quarter of this year. So what I'm saying is there are times for businesses to make money, and there are times for businesses to break even or even lose a little bit of money. That's just part of it. There's times where you're adding to your bank account at home, and there's times where your bank account's dwindling. Right? You're adding while you're saving for a big purchase, and then you make the big purchase, and now your bank account goes the other way for a minute. There's just things that happen. But this fallacy that a business makes profit every month, and a business makes more profit every month than it did last month, and a business has more employees every year than it did last year, is untrue. And it's how you handle the regressions that determine where you'll be in the future. Right? And it's just...
I mean, yes and no. I mean, 100% that is what happens.
Yes.
100% that is what happens.
Yeah.
What drives me crazy is when, I don't want to get off topic, is when people make offhand decisions inside of business, whether it be someone telling you to do this, someone telling you to do that, when you know... it's the wrong decision.
Yeah, but it's like raising kids or teaching a new plumber, right? He's going to fuck that up. Oh, he's measuring it wrong. Oh, he's going to cut it wrong. If you jump in there and you stop them from making the bad decision, all they learned was you will protect them and you will never let them make a bad decision, right? So sometimes you have to let people fuck up a little bit in order to learn for themselves, the stove's hot. You know, a mom can tell the kid not to touch the stove 10 times. Kid's still going to touch the stove once.
Yeah. For personal growth, that is 100% the way to handle it.
Yeah.
When it comes to the growth of 10 employees inside of a business, it's a problem. It is a problem.
Well, again, that's
you know what I mean?
It's not my problem anymore.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about just in general.
Well,
like people will be, you know, they'll be business partners. Just what I was talking about earlier. You know, those companies come together. We're going to do X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. None of it fucking pans out.
Right.
Because probably one person that actually knew what the fuck they were talking about was ostracized, or no, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this, and then that does fail.
There's a lot of politics in business. That's why you should never have business partners if you can avoid it. Now I have 5 of them in one business.
Yeah, you got one fucking guy that's fucking smart and the rest are fucking retarded. But I guess my point is, when you have what fails or what crumbles a lot of smaller businesses is partnerships, is outside influence inside of the decision-making process. The more
it's outside influence, it doesn't even matter either.
The more that you take on, whether it be outside influence, whether it be internal influence through partners, the more that you let those things affect your actual decision-making,
mm-hmm.
the risk goes up that yeah. there will actually be catastrophic failures.
Yeah.
Does
yeah.
that make sense?
So like, what happens a lot is you get a guy who nobody in his family has really owned a business before, or if they have, they haven't owned the type of business that you're going to start. Okay. In other words, in my family.
Like a service-based business that then someone comes in and they're a marketer and then they're like, we're going to do this.
No, stop.
Convinces everyone.
Okay. Okay. I got it. You were right. The marketing thing failed.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, to your point, of when people come in and want to change things that they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Right.
That is just an example of those things. Just like you're about to say when you started your business.
No. For the listeners of this show that are starting a one-man shop, you're going to have outside people trying to tell you and give you advice for how to start your business.
That's where I was going with that.
But they don't have a vested interest in the business. They're not owners. They're just acquaintances. They're just friends. And they're going to try to tell you, I wouldn't do it this way. I wouldn't do it that way. I'd watch out. Oh, that seems risky.
Yeah.
Okay? Those people are not your friends when it comes to business. They're your friends in your personal life. But do not take advice from anybody who hasn't been where you want to go. Okay? So, in other words, even like in my case, my parents owned an insurance agency. I could take some advice from my parents, right, about hiring employees or whatever else, but my parents have never tried to give me, like, I wouldn't have taken it anyway, but they've never tried to give me advice on owning a home service business because that's not an insurance business, right? And unfortunately, there's a lot of small business owners that think because I own one tiny small business, I'm a master of business. And it's just not the case. And those people's voices are very loud to the people that are unsure of themselves in business. To the one-man shops that are trying to hang their shingle out there, to the one-man shops that are trying to, you know, trying to make a name for themselves and trying to build their business. If you got a friend that owns an insurance agency and you're owning a home service business, don't take his business advice. Congratulate him, ask where you can help him, and let him know where he can help you. But that's it. Right? Get mentors in place that have actually owned home service businesses. Right? This is the whole problem at college. You're being taught business by people that have never owned a business. You're being taught accounting by people that have never done anybody's books.
Yeah.
Have never gone through an audit.
That's exactly what I was saying. What I was saying was people that you become partners with or incongruent with or whatever that come in and say, oh, well, I'm this. I have my expertise in this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't own a home service business.
Right. Right.
So what they're fucking, the weight of what they say carries no weight.
Yeah.
And yeah. people will literally be like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Let's just fucking roll with it.
Yeah.
That was my point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it shouldn't at all. Zero.
Yeah.
Do not, this is why what you said earlier about business partners and, you know, not having a pot to piss in when it comes to actually owning a business or owning a business that's like, you cannot allow them to distract you from the goals of said business.
Right.
It's worthless. It's fucking worthless.
And they will derail you quickly.
I've said this for five years. When you said about what you said about having business partners.
Mm-hmm.
There are like three people on the fucking planet that I would ever be business partners with.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with me being a control freak, me being thinking that I know better than anyone else. I just know that those people aren't going to be from the same cut of cloth that I am.
Right.
I just know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know that they are going to see things differently than I see them because I've seen probably 6 businesses personally go into a partnership and fail.
Yeah.
Because they
don't do a business partnership, plain and simple. If you're listening to this show and you're wanting to start your business out, do not do a business partnership.
They cannot carry the same thought process that you do.
Yeah.
They will see everything differently, and then you guys are going to get into fights, and there's going to be animosity, and you're not going to make money, and the thing's going to fold up.
And it gives you too easy of an out for poor performance. Well, we didn't win because they didn't do their job. So skip all that. Go run your own race. No business partners. Single ownership. My wife's not even a partner in our business, right? She's a flat-out employee.
Could you fucking imagine?
No, she would not ever want to be, for one, but I wouldn't allow it, for two. No business partners.
Fighting.
Right?
Oh, my God.
But you go run your own race, and so that way you're putting yourself in a position. There's a lot of people that choose business partners just for the future blame. When this, they don't even think that their own business is going to take off. So when it goes under, I'll be able to say, well, it was this other guy, right?
Translation, my business was going under. I took this guy on as a scapegoat for when it goes under.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, ignore all the partnerships. Go at it alone. And then you're going to build a team of people, but you run all the decisions. That level of accountability is very powerful, because now when it's successful, you get all the credit. But when it's failing, you get to blame nobody other than yourself. And that's a very humbling experience. Okay. Here I am in business for a year and a half, 18 months. And I have $250,000 fuck up with those vehicles. That's a very humbling experience that I didn't catch that early on. Easy to look at now and say, how did he not catch that? But that's Monday morning quarterback bullshit. Right? That's that fat ass on the couch eating Doritos that said, I would have caught that.
Well, and you also could have held on to him, right? Like, you could have made it work.
Could have tried to find a way to make it work, but it just wasn't the right setup.
Well, that's the cop-out of having a business partner thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I could have just worked it out and gone 2 years, and everyone would have struggled, and morale would have went down, and we wouldn't have got as much work done, and blah, 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 blah. Or I could eat this bullet right now.
Yeah.
And just move on with my life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to eat the bullet.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I fucked this up, and I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
And it's over.
And get in the habit of looking for 3 to 5 fuck-ups a day.
I don't have that many, but
you are going to fuck up 3 to 5 times a day. Some of them are going to be big. Some of them are going to be little, but start recognizing them. Because the more you can recognize your own fuck-ups, the less you care about them. It's WD-37. It's WD-14. Right? WD-40 gets all the credit because it was their 40th attempt at a formula and it finally worked.
Yeah.
But they had a WD-1 that they thought was it. Right? They wouldn't ever put out a formula that they didn't think was a solution. So they had a WD-1 and a WD-2.
In the factory, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in the development, right?
In the chem lab.
But what I'm saying is they had a WD-1 and they were like, this is it. This could be the best thing ever. It didn't work. Oh, okay. Well, not to be deterred, let's take everything we learned from that, and now let's make WD-2. It's going to be the best one. It didn't work either. All right, we can't fuck this up 3 times, right? Elon Musk and his rockets.
Dude, did you see that Bezos rocket explode?
That was a big one.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. But the outsiders...
That one may be the last one for him.
The outsiders, the low-rent people...
Oh, shit, that thing's smoking.
They're like, yeah, see, I knew it. He's going to fuck it up. Dude, the only thing you've blown up is like your debt load.
I forgot that guy was even making rockets.
And your waistline, right?
I mean, I forgot.
Well, I mean, he's sending Katy Perry to space or filming it, or what, like whoever knows if they actually went.
I don't.
It's a weird thing.
Like, if I'm going to make fun of Bezos, it's going to be because I don't think he's doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Bezos sure does seem kind of like Dr. Evil, whereas Elon Musk seems like the right quality. Mr. Gru.
To be honest, I had completely forgotten that thing blew up, and I was like, God damn it, Elon. And then I was like, Bezos. Oh, that's Bezos' rocket. Fuck. See ya.
But, like, don't listen to the outsider's voices. Don't listen to the guy who doesn't even own a company whenever he's trying to give you advice about your company. Don't listen to the one-off customer who you didn't make happy because you've made 99 other customers happy. Focus on the supporters. Okay? Focus on the customers that allow you to make them happy. There are some people out there that will not allow you to make them happy. Okay? My mother-in-law is one of them. She will not allow people to make her happy. She is she spends more time searching for reasons to be unhappy than happy. That's why we don't talk to her anymore. It sucks, but it is what it is.
Does it?
Well, it sucks for her. But ultimately, the things that are standing in your way are made up. The things that are standing in your way, you've put them there. How many times have people said, like, well, I'd get started if I could just do this or that? And for one, most of the time they have nothing to do with each other. But for two, so do it. Like, okay, so what's your plan to do this and that and then get started? Oh, well, and then here come the excuses and here come the hurdles. Okay, so you don't want to actually get started. Got it. Or I need to hire somebody, but I got to get my systems perfect. I got to get my processes perfect. I got to get X amount of dollars in the bank. I got to get the truck. I got to get the rebuild. I got to get the inventory set up. I got to get everything perfect before I hire a guy. No.
No, your pricing's got to be right. You got to have enough calls. Hire the guy.
Hire the guy.
Like, that's literally all it takes.
Let the fact that you have a guy coming on board cause the need for you to focus on those other things, right? It's like having kids. I used to think that I'll have kids when I'm ready. And then I started putting all these roadblocks in place that I would never be ready. I wanted to have the kids' college fund paid for before we even conceived a child.
And now your oldest ain't going to college.
And now my oldest ain't even going to college. Yeah. Right?
It's just so funny you say that. I had a kid when I was ready. Like, so, but it just worked out.
Yeah.
Like, it just worked out.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where you can put roadblocks in place all day long. But in 5 to 10 years, when you're still sitting on the couch and you're watching other people run on the field, it's all because of you. It's all because of your efforts and your lack of ability to jump in there and make shit happen. Here I was, some guy from Middle Missouri that said, I'm going to get on YouTube. I'm going to make a YouTube channel because I think it'll help my business. Did a lot of my friends be like, oh, well, who's this guy think he is? Yes.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. The French friends, right? Oh. The acquaintances. Well, this guy must think he's some big hotshot. He's got a camera guy following him around. He takes his camera guy everywhere. Well, who's this guy think he is? Must think he's better than us.
Mitch does. I heard it all. All of you, by the way.
I heard it all. And then I start a podcast because my business was mildly successful right out of the gate. My ideas kind of worked. And so I'm like, oh, let's share this information for fucking free,
yeah,
to other people around the world. Who's this guy think? You think he's Joe Rogan?
Dude, we get a lot of hate.
Who do you think you are, Joe Rogan? You got a podcast? Oh, everybody got podcast. Everybody thinks anybody themselves got podcast, right? I just went through a massive social media attack, like legit attack that cost some serious fucking money to fix.
And maybe cost us some serious fucking money.
Could have. But
I have no doubt.
Well, okay, show me the track record that says otherwise. But anyway,
I don't know, 6 months of averages that went to...
No.
Got cut by 20%?
But, like, you...
Over 3 months? No?
As I used to say, haters didn't exist. They absolutely do. And I know that now. And haters are actively trying to damage you as a person or your business. And I've encountered several. But you don't encounter haters until you're actually doing something. Haters don't hate guys on the couch. You'll never get hate from somebody that's doing more than you. Now, if I'm putting you in your place because you're calling me out from the couch, that's not me being a hater to you. That's me calling you out as a hater, right? Get out of your mom's basement, the whole internet troll thing, everything else. What I'm saying is haters are actively trying to damage your business. And I just went through a social media attack that cost me thousands of dollars of people actively trying to damage my social media profile and my businesses and everything else. And that's all, like, you could be discouraged from that, or you could take that as a sign, we're making a difference. We're making such a difference that those people are squirming. We're making such a difference that those people are worried about what could happen if we keep down this path. And so they're trying to cut the head off the snake early. Those are good signs. Those aren't bad signs. Those are good things. Okay? So when your friends start calling you out, oh, you think you're Joe Rogan starting a podcast? Oh, you think you're going to be a content creator? You think you're going to be an influencer because you put a selfie video out talking about what you do for work every day? Fuck those people. Fuck them. They don't have your intentions. They don't have your vision. Do what you're going to do. Run your own race. Don't take advice from people that haven't been where you want to go. And do what you know needs to happen to push your business forward. Don't let other arbitrary things stand in the way. And absolutely don't choose to make arbitrary things in your way. Okay? One of our TradeWinds members, I'm not going to call him out on the show, but one of our TradeWinds members, just like, I put a post in our private TradeWinds group of how can I help you grow? And he mentioned a couple of objectives that he wanted to get done. And I said, cool, how can I help? And he says, honestly, I don't even know. Which means those aren't real objectives standing in his way. Those are fake objectives standing in his way. And the only reason I'm even talking about this is because I care about the guy. And like, if he hears this, great. I care about the guy enough to know, or to have him know, those are fake objectives. But he created a foundation for an experience. I'm not bashing him. He's in the right room. He's put himself in TradeWinds where he's learning from people that are where he wants to go. And they've been where he wants to go, right? And now he's getting ready to learn one of his first big lessons in TradeWinds, and that is there's enough roadblocks in place already. Don't go making your own. Don't be like, well, I'm not going to upgrade my fleet to those right-sized vehicles until these have cycled out of the fleet. I told myself when I started my company that I would own vehicles for 5 to 7 years before I traded them out, and here I've only owned them for 18 months, and now I got to cycle them out. That's arbitrarily putting a hurdle in place that's preventing you from doing what you need to know you need to do in business, right? I told myself that I wasn't going to hire an employee until I had a van, a stock, and wrap, and uniforms, and processes, and procedures, and until the back end of my business looked like it was a $40 million business. I wasn't going to hire employee number two. Bullshit. Hire employee number two and build those along the way. Ultimately, 80% done is better than perfect, and 80% done is profiting. But planning for perfection is costing you money. So get out there, get started. If you think it's the wrong way to do it, try it. And then you're going to figure it out. And you're going to prove to yourself, yeah, that was the wrong way to do it. Cool. And get used to failing 3 to 5 times a day because it will happen. And then once you do that every day, day in and day out, and you fail 3 to 5 times a day for 5 fucking years, 6 days a week, you might actually be where you thought you wanted to be. But if you're not going to get out of your comfort zone, keep in mind that circle that we talked about earlier. In the middle of the circle is your comfort zone. The outer perimeter of the circle is out of your comfort zone, but that circle is your wealth. And the only way to grow the circle is to spend time on the fringes of your comfort zone. If you want to go back to the center of the circle to your comfort zone, you're going to be comfortable 24/7, 365, and so is your wealth. It's going to be comfortably small. So stay with that. Got anything to add? You got quiet on me.
I'm just letting you ramble.
But stay with that. Make 3 to 5 failures a day. Recognize them. Celebrate them. And then move on. Remember Usain Bolt. Trained for 10 years to run for 9 seconds. And here you are afraid to train once and run once. So put in the work. The rewards are coming, I promise. We'll see you next week.
See you.